Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The latest tips and equipment to improve your game. The latest from the leaderboards and your favorite courses. This is Golf in the Northwest, an action-packed hour about everything golf. Now here's your host for Golf in the Northwest, Jason Swigard.
And a fine good morning to you all. Just here, yeah, I'm on the other side of the glass. It's one of those weekends here, middle of August. Plans have taken everybody on various journeys that normally might be with me here on a Saturday morning. Glad you are with me. 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network, all around the Odyssey app on YouTube. Good morning, YouTube, Twitch, wherever you might be taking us in this morning. Hopefully you are on the way to your tee time as, boy, the ideal summer continues. Now, it's going to get hot here for a few days, but only for a few days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then it's right back into that upper 70s, low to mid 80s sweet spot that we all love here in the Pacific Northwest, and should be ideal. So just hydrate if you're playing Monday or Tuesday afternoon out there in the heat. Get those iced towels going, all of that fun stuff. So I'm going to be here for the next hour. A lot of help. Several guests coming up for you here this morning as we go all around the state. We'll head up to the Oregon Resort, the Mount Hood Resort. Joe Larson is the new director of golf. Tom Franklin, who we got to know over the last couple of years and had us out there before, he is finally accepting it's time to just play, not have to teach, not have to set up courses, all of those sorts of things. And we wish him the best. He's been a good friend to us. But Joe Larson, who has been out there working under his tutelage for the last several years, has taken over as the director of golf. He's going to join us. Lori Cabantoy is there, director of marketing as well. And so they're going to come up. Still plenty of time to get up there. If you're just looking for a quick retreat, you want to get out of the city, but you don't want to be gone, way gone, take forever to get somewhere or fly or those sorts of things. It is a great quick spot to get up to, especially on those hot days. If you're looking somewhere to play, maybe Monday or Tuesday, it's about 45 minutes to an hour, depending on what part of the metropolitan area you're in. Just duck up there. 27 holes. If you haven't played up there, three different nines to play, and it's fantastic. So we'll talk about the course itself, how the summer has allowed them to work on, do some much needed work on the course itself. Because it was a mild winter. It's been a mild summer, relatively speaking, and some of the stay-and-play opportunities, just how far the season goes as well. At 8:30, we will head south down to Medford. Rogue Valley Country Club, one of the older courses and country clubs in the state of Oregon down there in Medford. They are getting ready for their signature event of the season. It is the Southern Oregon Golf Championships. And it is the largest field, 416 players in an amateur match play event on the same course. It has become a staple. They're getting ready to do this for the 96th time. Tracy Snyder is the director of golf there, has worked at Rogue Valley for a couple of decades. He's going to join us at 8:30, tell you all about the event if you're unfamiliar with it. But how you can get involved, it is an open event. And maybe this year it's coming up in a couple of weeks. So it's filled up, but there might be a couple of last minute sort of things, divisions across all the specters, men, women, age flights, handicaps, all of those sorts of things. But it is a week-long celebration and party for golf. They have a ton of stuff going on. We'll talk to them, too, a little bit about a history of the event, the history of golf down there in the Medford area. everything that is involved with the Southern Oregon Golf Championships. So we're looking forward to that. The FedEx Cup playoffs have begun. The format has changed a little bit. We will remind you, not so much in the first two events, although the fields are smaller, so the cutdowns are smaller, but there are some bonuses along the way. The Tour Championship in a couple of weeks will be vastly different. And will it work? And the balancing act that has to go on if you're going to have this season-long event culminating with a ginormous bonus, $18 million in the pot to the winner of the FedEx Cup. Should it all boil down to one tournament, or should there be some way to, you know, note who has been the best golfers all season long to give them an advantage to win it? It's always been a tough balancing act when they decided to go to a playoff format to culminate the season rather than just it's the final event of the season and people are scrambling to get their cards for next year and qualify, all of those sorts of things. So we'll get into that. Ryder Cup, we are getting close. After next week's event, the top six Europeans and U.S. Positions, those automatic qualifiers will be set. We'll know who they are. And then it'll be time for captain's picks as we are about a month and a half away from what should be an unbelievable golfing event, the Ryder Cup, at Bethpage Black up there in New York. It should be wild and woolly, and it'll be interesting to see. I think the European squad is going to be, I mean, you look at the top 12, if you go down how they're doing their points, I don't know if the captain's picks are going to fall too far outside of the points. It looks like you've got some experience. And the other key is going to be you need some bombers. It's one of the longest courses ever. It's extremely difficult. You need guys who can launch it out there and that ability. And so, but for the Americans, you have some of the top points getters, including the captain himself, Keegan Bradley. That continues to be an issue, and I have fluctuated all over. Should he play? Shouldn't he play? I think it's going to be up to the players, but given that course, his play has fallen off a bit of late after getting a win up there in New England, and maybe he's starting to have to focus a little bit more on his Ryder Cup captain duties. There's going to be press stuff. He's starting to have to get organized with his vice captains and how they're going to do it. Behind the scenes, you wonder if they're starting to worry about some of the logistics and, scheduling practice rounds, all of that sort of stuff. He has the final say on all of it, while none of it is overly taxing. It's just when a lot comes at once and you're still trying to play, he's still, I think, 10th or 12th on the FedEx Cup playoff list. He's going to be at East Lake. And so he's trying to see if he can win himself a whole lot of money and get himself exempt for a lot of play next season as well. He doesn't want his career to be done. So there's a lot going on there. The U.S. Women's Amateur going on down at Bandon Dunes as well. They are down to the semifinals. It's been quite an event, so we'll have an update on that for you too. But it is time, as always, as we begin by going inside the ropes.
It's time for an insider's look at the leaderboards, the latest on all tours, plus local golf events and the latest news. This is Inside the Ropes, part of Golf in the Northwest.
There you go. Three tours we are following. The LPGA Tour finished up. They had the AIG Women's Open out at Royal Porthcawl last week. They are making their way back, and they will be at Columbia Edgewater next week for the Standard Portland Classic. And they will be gearing up. It should be a good field. We'll have much more on that next week. We will be out live at Forest Hills Golf Club next week. And then we will wrap up our season here. August 23rd will be the final show of the season. We'll be out at the Portland Indoor Golf Club out there, the new facility with Sebastian and Cole. We're going to have a great old time. Our buddy Dominic's going to be out there too. A newer facility, so we're going to tell you all about it as we get into the fall and maybe take a look at you know, indoor golf, what the membership provides, leagues, the simulators, all of those sorts of things. So a lot of fun. But we begin right now with the Champions Tour. They are up north. They're in Seattle, their annual stop. The club at Snoqualmie Ridge for the Boeing Classic. Jerry Kelly, Matt Gogel tied for the lead at 7 under par. Jerry Kelly has won this event previously. He's looking for his 14th win on the PGA Tour Champions. But Matt Gogel, 54-year-old, still looking for his first win on the Champions Tour. It is his 66th start, but he had his low round of the season with a 7-under 65. And so there will be afternoon coverage on Golf Channel here, 3 o'clock this afternoon. You'll want to tune in. Just a gorgeous, gorgeous setting up there. And the Champions Tour is still 18th of 28 events, so they still have a few more months to go in there. Season. The Korn Ferry Tour, event number 21 of 26. They are in Omaha, Nebraska. The club at Indian Creek, par 71, 7,700 yards. Zach James has the lead after two rounds at 11 under par, one shot clear of Matt Atkins. And for Zach James, this would be huge. His rookie year on the Korn Ferry Tour, still looking for a win. He's 57th on the points list. This would launch him up into the top 20. That would put him in consideration for, or put him in position to get his PGA Tour card. And he is played 5 seasons at Southeastern Oklahoma State University. That's one of the top Division II programs. Had 9 wins in college. So the youngster just trying to make his way. He went through Q school, got to the final stage. That's how he had membership this season. And after working through the PGA Tours of America, so trying to get up there, our buddy Alistair Dougherty unable to make the cut. And I think a long, long season starting to catch up with our buddy Alistair. And so we hope maybe he can get a week, get some rest, have a big finish. Right now he is 60th in the points list. That'll get him into the playoffs. So maybe then he can catch fire there in Boise at our buddy Jeff Sanders tournament, the Albertsons Open, or one of the other tournaments, see if he can play his way in. Again, it was just he at 2 different times, he was literally a putt away from getting his card last season. And so he's just on the verge. But all eyes are on Memphis. TPC South win the FedEx St. Jude Championship this week. A little weather yesterday afternoon halted play at the end of the second round. They had to finish up earlier this morning. They have just started the third round. But is this the week? Tommy Fleetwood, your leader, 13 under par, 63-64. Just tearing up TPC Southwind, 85% fairways hit. He's 24 of 28. We'll hear from him a little bit later on as we look ahead. But he is still looking for his first career PGA Tour victory. He's won 7 times on the DP World Tour. He's been a Ryder Cup staple since he's established himself. But for whatever reason, just has been unable to get it done. But he always seems to rise to the occasion in the highest in the top events. 4 of his 5 top 10 finishes this season have been in signature events. It's his second 36-hole lead this season. He had it at the Travelers where he finished tied for 2nd. That was, of course, where Keegan Bradley took him down on Sunday. He's 9th in the FedEx Cup standings, and that's the highest-ranked player without a win. So everything lining up, one of the more enjoyable, delightful players, one of the more popular players on tour. He's going to be playing with his buddy Justin Rose, who's at 10 under in the final group. They will tee off at 9:52 this morning. They're going to play threesomes. Colin Morikawa will be in that group, 9 under par. Colin trying to get it together. First round leader, Akshay Bhatia, only a 1 under 69 in round 2, but he's right there at 9 under. And then Maverick McNealy, Andrew Novak at 8 under. Scottie Scheffler in the mix at 7 under. We'll see if he can get it rolling and go low. But the key to this course, really, if you can put it in the fairway, keep it in there. They've completely redid the greens. You'll hear him on the coverage talking about the greens. Completely redone, and there's no grain in them. They're absolutely pure. They haven't started. They haven't been rolled one way or the other yet. And so that's why it's going to be off the tee, how important it is to give yourself irons in there and give yourself a chance, because at 7,300 yards, a par 70, they're not having – you can't just make up ground on par fives, just two par fives. So it's going to have to be iron play, giving yourself plenty of looks, and then taking advantage of those brand-new green complexes. That's what's going on. We'll get into the U.S. Women's Amateur as we wrap up. But when we come back, we will head up to the mountains out there in Welch's. Joe Larson and Lori Cabantoy from the Mount Hood, Oregon Resort going to join us, talk about all sorts of opportunities to get up and enjoy some golf up in the mountains. We're getting going here. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan and 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Welcome back in Golf in the Northwest here on this Saturday morning in August as we count down our final shows of the season before football kicks in. And but it doesn't mean that there's not lots of great weather left. Fall is one of the best times for playing golf here in the Northwest, and that's where we're going now. Joining us on the line up at the Mount Hood, Oregon Resort, the new director of golf, Joe Larson, who has taken over for Tom Franklin, who we got to know over the last couple of years, and joining him today as well, Lori Cabantoy, who's the assistant sales manager. Good morning. How are things up at the resort here this weekend?
Hey, good morning. No, they're going really good. We've had just a ton of great weather up here. It's been one of the best spring summers I've seen in about 5 years, so we couldn't ask for anything more, to be honest. It's been really helping all the growth on the greens. Been putting a lot of work into the course of the last season. We got new bunker sand last year, so everything's looking great over there. Tons of green repairs from the previous years of snow mold. So we're getting the course back into really good shape.
Well, fantastic. And Joe, I think for people that aren't maybe familiar with you, that haven't been up to the course, taking over as director of golf, but you have been up working there at the resort for quite some time. Let everybody know a little bit about the opportunity that you're stepping into now.
Yeah, no, I came here about 3 seasons ago and started as just a cart attendant and working in the pro shop. And just over the last couple of seasons, I've kind of stepped up and, you know, helped out with the inventory and more of the management side, and then was given this opportunity to step up to director, and couldn't be happier.
Well, and Tom had such a legacy up there for all those years, but obviously you get an opportunity, I'm sure, being in there long enough. What are the things that you are maybe focusing on to enhance or to shed light on maybe that haven't been as well-known about the 27? One, it's 27 holes for people that haven't been up there, Thistle, Pinecone, and Foxglove Nines. What are some of the things you would like to emphasize a little bit more going forward?
Absolutely. Yeah, my biggest thing is a lot of people don't realize we're open in winter. So it plays very well. One side is we'll have frost delays till about noon if it's sunny out. But other than that, it plays great in the winter. I've personally been out helping with working on the drainage, getting drain lines cleared out. And it plays very well. This was a great winter for us.
Well, and I've got to imagine for the superintendents and the maintenance crew and the construction crew out there, this has been one of the most manageable springs and summers here in the Northwest. We haven't had extremes of any kind. The weather's been manageable. When we've gotten heat, it hasn't lasted. We haven't had absurd amounts of wetness. Fire season seems like it's been nothing extreme, at least here on the west side. So how has that enabled you? And you've mentioned a lot of work you've been able to get done on the greens. How does that allow you guys to keep the course and have it play all year round?
Yeah, it really makes a huge difference not having, fire smoke in the air and being able to deal with extreme heat really hurts. You know, it takes guys away from doing other projects because they have to hand water greens consistently. So with the nice, temperate summer we've had, it's let the guys really get out and get a lot of projects done. Lots of brush clearing, and there's shots on the course that, you know, are completely blocked out by trees the past few years, and it's changing the way the course plays for the better. Opening up a little more of the hazards, you know, bringing light of sight to some bunkers that were previously kind of hidden behind trees. So, you know, it makes the course playable to where it was originally designed from.
Joe Larson, the new director of golf there at Mount Hood Oregon Resort. Summertime, though, right now, other than I know you've got some tournaments, people trying to get some last things in, but boy, conditions ideal. Now's the time to get up and play. How available are things for people that want to come up, whether it's just getting 18 or 27 in during the day or want to make a weekend out of it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, midweek, always pretty much available. We've got the men's club and the women's club play Wednesday, Thursday, and then Tuesday. Other than that, Friday, Saturdays from 8 to 2 are our busiest times. Sundays, Mondays, very wide open. With the having three courses, we're always able to kind of put some overflow in a foxglove. So if you want to walk in, we can typically get you out almost immediately.
And, of course, we mentioned Lori Cabantoy, the assistant sales manager, joining us here as well. And that's where the resort comes in. It is nice. It's not a super long drive, 45 minutes to an hour out of the Portland area, depending on where you are and how traffic is at any one point. But once you're able to kind of get up the mountain towards Gresham there, you can fly right up. But all of the amenities that you would hope to have at a resort and some great specials for people that haven't been up maybe in quite some time. I know it's changed ownership here in the not too recent history. What is the resort really focused on, and how is it maybe different from people that have been up maybe as a kid or a while back?
Well, one of the great things that has changed a lot more recently in this year is we're updating a lot of our look. We're updating, you know, the course has had a lot of focus to get the course updated and running so that people can come and play and enjoy their time. But along with their stay, we want to make sure the hot tub's good to go. We just had the pool and the hot tub refinished. Our rooms are getting updated constantly, new linens, new appliances, new furniture, things like that. We're hoping to have our spa up and running by the end of the year, which would be great for anyone who's coming up with their friends, and maybe someone golfs and someone doesn't, they can go enjoy the spa. So we do host a lot of tournaments, which is great. We just had our first annual Samuel Welch Heritage Tournament, which is for the locals, to just kind of really focus on the history that this golf resort has, being that it's almost 100 years old and makes us the oldest golf resort in the state of Oregon. So we are really trying to focus on that and bring that history piece back to our community. We have so many different options with reunions and retreats and conferences and like I mentioned, the golf tournaments that we host. It's a great place to come and bring your crew together and then go and enjoy a meal afterwards. A lot of people do prizes or they'll bring in a band, and it's just a great place to come and just get away from the busyness of the city for a little bit, you know?
No question. And again, it's not a long drive. What and you guys can handle groups of all different sizes, you know, from 20 to over 200. For people that are wanting to set something up, obviously the larger the group, you're going to have to work a little further out on the calendar. But if you're taking care of lodging and maybe a meal or a banquet of some sort, how much time is good so that you can get everything that you want and it's not a scramble scene throwing something together?
You know, as far in advance as possible, we, like for golf tournaments, we'll book a lot a year in advance. Like someone who will come and they're like, yes, we want to come back next year, then we can do that. We are booking one tournament right now that's in 5 weeks, and it's one of our largest golf tournaments that they had a change in plans and they decided to come back to the resort, and they have 144 players usually, so which is a large group for us for the tournament. But, you know, they gave us a 2-month notice and we're able to throw it together for them. So, and we do try to accommodate anyone who comes through the door. When Timberline had their fire over the winter, they had a wedding we picked up for them, and They had some other small groups that they had to relocate, and we helped pick them up at last minute. I think we had 36 hours to plan a wedding. So, you know, the more notice, the better. But we try to be as accommodating as we possibly can to get people out.
Chatting here with Joe Larson and Lori Cabantoy up at Mount Hood, Oregon Resort. As for people, maybe it's just a foursome. You want to get together with family or friends, go up, get a golf weekend in. Are there some stay and play opportunities or specials? And when we get, you know, school starts, and I think the fall is one of the best times for golf here. Usually we get into shoulder season where you can take advantage of maybe some friendlier pricing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a number of stay and plays. There's one on underpar.com and another one on golfmoose.com. They offer 2 days of unlimited golf with your hotel stay. A lot of people come up. You go play 18, take a break, hit the pool, come back, play another 9, maybe another 18. There's just a lot of opportunity up here, and the evening play is just beautiful.
And one thing you mentioned on the weekends is we also do live music at Mallard's, which is our cafe and pub that's right next to the pro shop. So on Friday, Saturday, and Sundays, even after you go hit a round of 18, hit the pool, come back for some live music and some good food, we do that specifically for the golfers, because it's always nice to have some live music on the course and have something you can sit back and relax to while you grab a quick bite. And that goes through October for live music on the weekends. And Mallard's will also be open through the end of October.
That's fantastic. Well, hopefully a lot of people will have an opportunity, especially we still have time for a heat wave here in the Portland area, too. And that's always a nice time to get up to the mountain where it just takes a little edge off the heat. Joe Larson and Lori Cabantoy there up at Mount Hood, Oregon Resort. Thanks so much for hopping on with us. And hopefully we'll send a few people your way here very soon.
Thank you for the interview. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe and Lori. Appreciate you guys making some time for us here this morning. When we come back, we'll head south down to Medford, one of the longest running and the largest amateur match play tournament here on the West Coast, the Southern Oregon Golf Championships from Rogue Valley Country Club. Tracy Snyder, the director of golf, going to join us as we make the turn. It's Golf in the Northwest here on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason Swigard back here, 8:31 this morning, Golf in the Northwest, Sports Saturday with Joe and Rashad coming up. I'm sure they will sink their teeth into Shedeur Sanders and NFL preseason action. Plenty to overreact to with that and a full slate of action coming up today. Looking back at the Seahawks from Thursday night, but right now, we are going to go head south down to Medford, Rogue Valley Country Club, and the director of golf operations there, Tracy Snyder, kind enough to join us this morning with one of the biggest events on the West Coast in terms of amateur golf coming up later this month, the Southern Oregon Golf Championships. Good morning, Tracy. How are conditions in Medford in the Rogue Valley this weekend?
Oh, conditions are wonderful. It's going to get hot, though, here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, we're looking at approaching 100. They're backing off a little. When it's 95-ish up here, what's it usually like down in the Rogue Valley?
Yeah, 95 there. It'll be 105 here. It'll be warm.
No question. And so for people that maybe, you know, Medford sometimes feels like it's, a whole state, another area away, even though it's about a 4-hour drive. But for people that haven't been down, Rogue Valley Country Club, one of the oldest golf courses in down there in the valley. And you've been there, I think, going on 2 decades now. Just how did you find Rogue Valley coming out of New Mexico State? And how has it made yourself, or how have you made it home for the last several years?
Yeah, well, I'm an Oregonian. I grew up in Oak Ridge, Oregon, just outside of Eugene there. Went down to New Mexico State after a couple years of playing basketball and baseball in junior college, and went through their golf management program. And when I finished up, I, kind of an Oregonian at heart, wanted to come back and was fortunate enough to get hired here at the club here in Medford.
Well, and Rogue Valley's been in, what was it about, I mean, that country club and being a part of Medford, and it's such a, it's continues to grow that community and as it spreads out, but it's been a focal point of golf there for a number of years. Just how important is that country club and what goes on there to the golfing community down in the Valley?
Oh, it's greatly important down here. You know, we're the only private club between Redding and Roseburg, so everything's a couple hours away. Since I've been here, there's been, you know, Eagle Point's opened up, Centennial's opened up, and the Valley has probably almost doubled in size.
No question. What is, and now that you have a few more facilities, and I know that there's the that indoor practice facility there in Medford that opened up in the last few years as well, that's really provided just introducing more people, finding a way to get them into golf. Just how is the golf community? And for people in the Portland area that are looking to come down, you've got more options now. You still got to drive a little bit back and forth, I think, but you can go down there and make a true kind of golfing week or vacation out of it, taking in quite a few different courses.
You know, and the thing about Medford, everything's close. So, I mean, you won't have to drive more than 10 or 15 minutes to get from one course to the other. There's, I think, probably four total 18-hole courses right here in the Valley. And then that's not counting Running Y over in Klamath Falls, which is an hour away.
No question. Tracy Snyder, the director of golf operations there at Rogue Valley Country Club. What was it? It was funny. There was a spotlight. Dominic was sending me some things. You did an interview with the chapter a couple of years ago after playing golf. But what was it about deciding to get into the golf management? I'm always curious when we talk to the great pros here in the Northwest. What was it about the game, whether you had success playing, you know, in high school or juniors or college, to go from competing and playing golf for your own self-satisfaction to wanting to get into being a pro, instruction, tournaments, and growing the game? What was it about that side of it that just drew you to want to go, one, study it, and then come back to Oregon and work in the industry?
Yeah, you know, I always played golf as a fun thing growing up. My mom was the big golfer of the family. And I wasn't sure what I really wanted to do, and my dad introduced me to the golf management programs. Back then, there was only four universities that had it. And I always knew I wanted to do something where I could help people. And I was a big time sports guy, and it just kind of fit right into what I was looking for the most part, being able to help people and help kids, was a big part of it.
Well, and that has shown through 2015, the OGA, elected you Golf Professional of the Year. So if, he knows what he's talking about down there, whether it's instruction or whatever you might be looking for. Tracy Snyder, our guest here. Now, you guys are gearing up, and I'm curious, when does the preparation start for the Southern Oregon Golf Championship? It is the largest match play amateur event at a single course. Is it in the West Coast or in the United States?
It's in the nation, yes. Yeah, there's 416 golfers. Preparation starts for it a year ago.
when do you start getting the course sort of dialed in for how you want it? Because the fun thing about this is it is all divisions, junior golfers up to seniors, men and women, all different handicaps. So you kind of put people into the appropriate flights. So it's, you know, they're competing against people of similar abilities. all of those sorts of things, and you only have 18 holes. There's not, you don't have 36 or 54 holes there to spread everybody out.
Right.
But when do you start really dialing the course in to get it how you want it to play for everybody? So it's challenging for, you know, the top amateur players, but still playable for either the youth or seniors or whoever it may be.
You know, midsummer, we start kind of prepping the course a little bit to get it more in tournament conditions. It's kind of down here. This is, we're actually in the middle of our club championship right now here. So it really starts to hype up tournament conditions. And then we go a couple weeks where we'll have the city championship over at Centennial and one other event here. And then going into the Southern Oregon, the golf course tends to play a little harder and faster.
Well, yeah, and with some heat this week, that'll be looking to get it really moving firm and fast.
Oh, yeah.
For people that are interested, or maybe, I mean, this is 96 years old. How did this get going, and how have you managed to keep it going and growing all of these years?
Yeah, you know, it started, I believe, way back when the club was just a nine-hole course over on the north side of town 96 years ago. And it's just slowly worked its way up to what it is today with 416 golfers, you know, six different divisions. We have 27 holes here, so that's how we're able to get so many golfers out for the week long. It runs from Monday and always ends on Labor Day. So,
and you guys have now made it also a week long festival. There are a lot of other events going on for spectators that want to come down and take it all in, as well as the competitors themselves. Fun stuff going on every night. Just how did those things grow? I'm sure people coming in as it grew, and you're like, okay, if people are going to be here for a week, what else are we going to keep them entertained to do when they're not on the course?
Yeah, you know, those things have also grown over the years. It's just kind of trying to find a way to keep people out here all week, and instead of running off somewhere else for a few days, we have cocktail parties for players and spouses Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, which is an hour and a half long of drinks and a couple themed buffets each night. We have putting contests, chipping contests, where we give away a little money to everybody. Just different ways of trying, you know, we used to have what we called nights on the range, where we'd have glow in the dark targets out on the range, and we'd have some contests with that going on. Just ways to keep people coming out here and coming back.
Now, for this year, you guys start on August 25th. Is everything full, or are there still a few slots if anybody up here was interested? When do you start taking applications for next year's event?
You know, we'll start taking applications for next year's event in October is when usually when we start, once we kind of figure out what's going to be going on for the next year. This year, all the divisions are full. We're still looking for about four more ladies to fill the ladies division and a couple more super seniors, which is 65 and older, to fill their division. But other than that, the rest of them are kind of full with the waiting list.
I would imagine. Is there any thoughts of, I'm guessing this is the limit that you've reached at 416 with your property there. Is there a discussion of bringing in maybe another nearby course or something to try to expand it more? Or do you want to keep this really your special event there at Rogue Valley?
You know, that has been talked about more outside of the club than it has in the club. I don't think that the membership here is looking to expand it a whole lot more. It is just kind of something that is home to the club, important to the club. It's ours, and I'm not sure they're ready to let go of any of it.
Yeah, no, I know. Once you get something special and it's your thing, it's hard to let go. But expanding the field. Now, over in Bandon this weekend, we've got the U.S. Women's Amateur going on. I'm curious if any of those ladies are in the field, or, you know, when the open divisions for the amateurs, both men and women. How high of a quality of golfers are you getting? Anybody from the Oregon or Oregon State golf teams there? Just for people that are curious about it, just how good is the golf that's being played there?
You know, we have, I would say, in the ladies' division and a couple of the men's division is, I would say, kids who have graduated. You know, we've run into a few issues of them being in school or they've got other things going on within the program. We get a few NAIA golfers or D2 golfers that will come in that don't have as much going on. But we haven't had a lot of success with the D1 golfers outside of the COVID year when they were shut down.
But you mentioned it is all levels of play. So as long as you have a handicap, you can do this if you're looking to get in maybe in future years.
Yeah, and you know the way we run it is everybody gets a qualifying round, and that qualifying round sets them in a flight within their division. We only use the handicaps if we see somebody that is way too low that's qualified way too high. We'll move them.
Aha. Uh-huh.
But other than that, it's all about what you shoot.
Fantastic. Tracy Snyder here is the director of golf down at Rogue Valley Country Club. They are getting ready for the Southern Oregon Golf Championships coming up. It starts August 25th, runs through Labor Day. Should be an exciting time for people, that also are looking maybe for an opportunity to check out the course from the Portland area. Are there other opportunities throughout the year, if you don't maybe know a member down there, to come down and see what it's all about?
Oh, you know, there are other events throughout the year. We are fully private, you know, so you have to be a guest of a member or another, if you're a member of another country club. We have, I think, around 20 reciprocal clubs throughout Oregon, Washington, and Northern California that we partner with. But for the most part, it's private, and it's, you know, got to be a guest of a member.
As is the case. Well, certainly we look forward to it. For people that want to find out more about it, rvcc.com/SOGC. And there are a couple of slots, as you mentioned, for a Super Seniors or for the ladies field. So if you are interested, but you can check it all out, maybe get yourself lined up for next year if you're looking for some competition down there. Tracy Snyder, thank you so much for taking some time for us today. Hopefully you guys can manage the heat here the next few days and it doesn't derail preparations. And then we should be all lined up for a great end of the summer and fall.
Sounds great, Jason. I appreciate the opportunity and the phone call.
There you go, Tracy Snyder. Best wishes, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
You too, man. Take care.
Take care. There we go. Tracy Snyder, the director of golf down there at Rogue Valley Country Club. Again, it is the Southern Oregon Golf Championships coming up in a couple of weeks. You can go to rvcc.com for more information. Next week, as we mentioned, I will be out at my home course, Forest Hills, out there in Cornelius. And then we will also have a guest joining us from Gamble Sands. Blake Froling is the general manager out there. They have just opened their second 18 Scarecrow. It was designed by David McClay Kidd, who designed several of the courses down there at the Bandon Dunes Resort. And so he'll talk to us about this new 18. So now there's two 18s out there. They have a 14-hole short course, the putting course, on 115 acres up in Brewster, turning that into one of the great golf destinations in the Pacific Northwest. So that is coming up on next Saturday's show. When we come back, we'll check in with the FedEx St. Jude Championship going on, round three underway. Is this the week Tommy Fleetwood is going to finally win on the PGA Tour? How this sets up for Ryder Cup considerations as we get down the horn or come down to it to pick those teams. And we'll check in the semifinal matches at the USGA, the women's amateur out at Bandon Dunes this weekend. A couple of surprises there as we wrap things up here. It's Golf in the Northwest on 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. Jason Swigart back here with you. Sports Saturday with Joe and Rashad getting set. They get to talk about football today. They are excited. I can tell. I'm sure we will hear about Shadur and all of the overreaction in Cleveland. Full slate of action coming up today. Thanks again to Joe Larson and Lori Cabantoy from the Mount Hood Oregon Resort, and also to Tracy Snyder down at Rogue Valley Country Club for joining us here this morning. Let's take a quick peek before we get out of here. The U.S. Women's Amateur Championships going on all week long out at Bandon Dunes, the 125th edition of this tournament. All eyes were on the number one ranked amateur player, University of Oregon junior Kiara Romero. She unfortunately lost in the quarterfinals yesterday to Lila Lauterbaugh, who's a junior from the University of Kansas. A lefty, so we know one Isaac Ropp going to be following that. She got hot late in the college season, won the NCAA regional there in Columbus, I believe. So she has been quite hot. She was the fourth seed in the brackets as they were formed. She's taken on Brooke Bierman today, junior out of Michigan State, and that'll be at 10:40. At 11 a.m., Mega Gane, who should be familiar to everybody. She came on claim to fame as a teenager at the U.S. Women's Open a couple of years ago. She's been a staple at the Augusta Women's National Amateur, and now I believe a sophomore at Stanford. She'll be taking on Ella Scraesbrook, who is a teenager out of Australia and got in through the playoff. Made the field here in match play, so that'll be your second semifinal. And then tomorrow will be the final, a 36-hole final with today's winners. And I believe NBC and Golf Channel will have coverage of those events. And if you have heard about Bandon and have not yet been out there, this is the original course, Bandon Dunes. You can see it, coastline right there on the southern Oregon coast, and why everybody has been just talking about it for decades as one of the top golfing destinations in the world. They love having USGA events. Next year, they're going to have the PGA Club Championship, National Championship out there as well. So they love putting on these events. The PGA Tour starting its playoff, the FedEx St. Jude Championship. Tommy Fleetwood will start the day with a three-shot lead over Justin Rose. Justin Thomas is on the course. He's even through two. Matthew Fitzpatrick, 3-under through four holes. He is 5-under. So we are seeing guys continually go low, and it's out there. As we mentioned, Tommy hitting 24 of 28 fairways. That has been the key for him, not getting out of position. And he talked about that post-round yesterday. Off the tee will be critical if you want to win this tournament.
Well, I think so. I think, you know, it's a course where you can really score well if you're in the fairway, and if you're not, it becomes a struggle. I think the two times I missed the fairway today, you look at 9 and 18. 9 I had to chip out, and yeah, I made par, but, you know, I had to get up and down from 105 yards or whatever it was, and then 18 I was out of position, make bogey. I just think it's very easy to do that, and I think but I think if you're hitting it well off the tee, it just makes the course very gettable.
So a very popular player, has had tons of success over in Europe, 7 wins on the DP World Tour, still looking for his first PGA Tour victory, and was asked, is this the week?
Well, we'll see. You know, happy to put myself in with a chance over the weekend. I think, you know, this is exactly where you want to be and keep testing yourself. And yeah, it hasn't happened for me yet out on the PGA Tour, but I would much rather be up there and not quite getting it done than not there at all. And who knows, maybe this week is the week, and we'll see, and we'll crack on from there. But, you know, look forward to tomorrow first.
He's been playing well in the biggest events. 4 of his 5 top 10s this season have come in signature events. trying to peak for this event, possibly win a tour championship and the jackpot that comes with it, as well as getting set for the Ryder Cup in September. And if you look at the Ryder Cup standings for the European players, they will, I think they finish in a couple of weeks. But Tommy Fleetwood third right now. Rory has automatically qualified, but Robert McIntyre, Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, Shane Lowry, Sepp Straka are the top six who would be automatically in. You look down, Rasmus Højgaard, Justin Rose, Ludvig Åberg, Victor Hovland, Matt Fitzpatrick, Matt Wallace. I don't know if, I mean, you know, the captains, Luke Donald just might take those top 12 and call it good. Plenty of length, guys all playing well late into the season. And that would be a formidable opponent for the U.S. squad. Keegan Bradley still has to figure out if he's going to play or not. The U.S. team standings, Scottie Scheffler's in. Xander Schauffele, J.J. Spahn, Russell Henley, Bryson DeChambeau, and Harris English are all in. And Keegan said Bryson's going to be on the team whether he finishes in the qualification or not. You got Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Ben Griffin. But after that, it's going to be interesting to see how far down the list Keegan may go to pull in his 12 players. That'll do it for us here. Talk to you next Saturday from Forest Hills. But coming up next, it's Sports Saturday with Joe and Rashad right here. Until then, I'm Jason. Hit 'em straight.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.